Al Perhaxian, and welcome back to the Mind Force Hypnotic Influence Boot Camp, lesson number 4. This is going to be a very exciting lesson because I'm going to take you through the concept of really superior communication skills. Now, even if you have learned some of this material in the past, I'm going to give you some really good techniques, but not only techniques, but also I'm going to give you some skills that you can go out and start using immediately. And again, I've said it once, I'm going to say it, continue to say it, this is all application. So even if you know some of this stuff, I can promise you this, by the time we're done with this set of videos, an instruction set, you're going to be able to do this so much better than you've ever done it, because why? I'm going to have you go out and do it. And we want to be able to go out and do it exquisitely. So let's get started. Now, we're going to talk about maximum communication strategies as it relates to covert persuasion, hypnotic influence. We're going to go over a lot of sneaky stuff in this section. Now, some of you may think it's sneaky, and others may say that's pretty normal. But the fact is, we're going to be reaching people from both a conscious and subconscious perspective. That's what this is all about. Covert persuasion is persuading somebody covertly, which means they don't really know that it's going on. And one way to do that is by creating what we call bonding and rapport. Bonding is the ability to create a bond with somebody where it's strong, where you feel like you've been friends forever. Rapport is developing a conversation that is both interesting and derives information that you can use to get to the next step. Because we're talking about using this type of persuasion for so many different topics, whether it be for business, social. Like I said, I've always used the example of dating, of meeting a woman. All of these skills can be transferred to go meeting somebody for a date or trying to pick somebody up at a bar or whatever, as it could be for being in the boardroom. Very easily transferable. You just have to think a little bit and say, okay, how would I use this? But they work the same because people are the same. It's the art and science of communication and learning it at a high level so that every time you go into a communication situation, you're going to be consciously thinking, okay, what am I looking for? Now, some of you are going to look at this and say, that's a lot of work. Well, if you really want to be a communication specialist, well, that's what it takes. It does take work, just like all of this takes work. But again, we're breaking it down on a weekly basis so that this next week you're going to take these concepts and you're going to start to implement them. And you're going to be able to, again, plan. You're going to plan out what you're going to do. You're going to do it. Then you're going to review it. What did I do good? What did I do bad? What could I have done better? Now, let's understand communication a little bit. Verbal communication, obviously, that's how most of us communicate, and that is by speaking. And it could be over the phone, it could be in person. And even though we're so used to doing it, a lot of us are uncomfortable with it. If, for instance, using the example of going into, let's say, a bar, nightclub, let's say a hotel, let's say a restaurant, whatever, and if you took the average guy, average man, and you said, hey, go over and say hello to that woman right there. Go engage her in a conversation. He would say, most people would say, I'm nervous, they wouldn't do it. In fact, you take the same guy, say, go start a conversation with that guy, might get the same answer. Because even though we're verbal, we sometimes don't have the confidence. So hopefully you're getting the confidence as we go through this boot camp week by week. Because the only way, again, like I said, you're getting confidence. Confidence is the ability that you know that you can pull something off. That's what confidence is. Physical. Communication is physical. It's how you carry yourself. Even going back to the first week where we talked about wrapping our package, you've got to have a physical sense about yourself. That when you walk into a room that you know that you're the controller, that you're the go-to guy, you're the alpha male, you're the woman that everyone is going to turn around and say, I want some of that. And when I say that, I'm not saying that from a sexual sense. I'm saying that from the sense that that person is exquisite. That person is really interesting. And that comes through on that physicalness. If you walk in with your shoulders slumped and you look kind of not slovenly, but you look like you're kind of weak, people are not going to respond to that very well, I can promise you that. Energetically, what are they feeling from you energetically? Are they feeling a crispness? Are they feeling an energy that is warm, inviting, something that causes them to want to get to know you? Or are they feeling an energy that's weird, like, whoa, you know, stay away from me, you weirdo? Very important stuff. And then, of course, the emotional. What kind of emotional content do you have at that time of meeting? Are you an emotional wreck? Are you in a bad mood? Are you the type of person that has a dark cloud over them? Or are you walking into a room with a blazing smile? You're emitting this emotional content that is both euphoric, blissful, and feels so good that whoever you run into, they want a piece of that. They want some of that euphoric and blissful feeling. I mean, that's just phenomenal stuff when you can do it. So we are looking at it from all of these different angles. And I'm going to teach you several different methods, and we're going to coordinate all of these four items into everything that we do. So rapport is critical. Rapport is the ability to create a bond with someone that you meet quickly and effectively. And it's a skill that's not readily taught. If you look at a lot of the NLP training, it's a pretty big portion of what they do. I learned it in both NLP training, and I also learned it in my sales training. I also learned it from going out and starting my own business. I've stubbed my toes quite a few times on building rapport, and I think we've got a great combination of what we can do in order to get that taken care of. People will develop a rapport with you when they know you, they like you, and they trust you. Now, everyone is going to run into this pattern either, you know, quickly or more slowly. And it really depends on the person. I'm going to give you the guidelines on how you're going to know, you know, how to deal with each different type of person. But let me give you an example of this. Somebody knows you. That doesn't mean that they have to know you for, you know, 30 years. It just means that they know you. They see you. They get a chance. Hey, my name is, and you get to know them a little bit. They like you. How do they like you? You start building rapport. You start bonding with them, and they make a judgment call very quickly, people do, that they like you. I like this person. People are very quick like that. As a matter of fact, I want you to start putting this in place. Now, again, this is an assignment, so write these notes down. Take a piece of paper out right now, and I want you to write this down. Know you, like you, trust you. Now, they trust you when they like you and they know you. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to trust you with their wallet, but they're trusting your conversation. They're trusting the interaction. They're not looking at you like you're some kind of weirdo. What I want you to do in this upcoming week is I want you to take this know you, like you, trust you, and I want you to go out, and I want you to use all the other skills we're going to talk about, and I want you to rate yourself. How quickly can you get somebody to know you? How quickly can you get somebody to like you? And how quickly can you get somebody to trust you? Now, trust you would be the point where if a woman went to the bathroom, if you were sitting next to her in a bar or restaurant, and you said, oh, don't worry, I'll watch your purse for you. If she trusted you with that, it's pretty good trust. All right. If you were sitting next to a guy in a bar, and he had his wallet on the bar, and he went to the men's room, and you said, hey, just leave your wallet there. Don't worry about it. I'll keep an eye on it for you. And he went to the men's room and didn't think anything of, that's trust. That's a small, it's just a small sample, example of trust. Developing rapport is a learned skill. It's not a born skill. A lot of the skills that I'm teaching, matter of fact, probably 99.9% of the skills I'm teaching are learned skills. They're not born skills. Some people always say, oh, he's a born salesman. No, he's not. Now, he may have a specific makeup that makes that person more successful in sales, but that doesn't mean that they were born salesmen. It's just that they learned specific skills. And we're going to teach you the specific skills as well. How to create an instant bond with someone. People like others like themselves. You may have heard the phrase that opposites attract, not in this case. People like others like themselves in a religion, political affiliation, same interests, sports, arts, social, work. That's what people gravitate towards. And if you look at any group, look at your group of friends. Probably the majority of your friends have some commonality. Now, your friends may have a different religion. They may have a different political affiliation. But there's some common bond that you guys get together on. Sports, could be arts, social, could be a specific band that you guys like. Whatever the case might be, there is some type of likeness. I'm going to teach you how to use both verbal and nonverbal communication in creating a bond with somebody. So that it's a powerful, it's a potent bond. It's not just some wishy-washy type of thing. We're going to create a bond so that somebody remembers you, so that when you get done meeting them, the thought that goes through their mind is, man, I'd really like to get to know that person better, or I'd like to meet up with them again, you see. Or if you're in a business setting, I'd like to do business with that person. I like the way that person is. Now, the product that you market may not even fit with the needs, but they like you enough that they're going to give you a shot. Pretty cool stuff. So let's get in the first aspect of matching and modeling. I'm going to go into more details on this, and you're going to kind of get a schematic of what we're going to be teaching. But you're going to match the person with their body posture. You're going to match their facial expressions. You're going to match the same interests, sports, arts, social work, like we mentioned before. And the reason we're going to match is we're going to deliberately go out there to match and to model and to pace them, which means to do what they're doing. And we're going to do these things in a way that's going to cause them to feel like we're them. Now, when you match the person, or you model them, or you mirror them, what you're going to notice is that it's a subliminal, it's a subconscious reference point. Which means if you match somebody, and you'll notice on the other video I go into a little bit about that, is that it's subconscious. They see you doing it, but unless you do it in the wrong way, they go along with it. Now, at first, they may say, well, I wonder why that guy's folding his arms the same way I am. That means that they noticed it. Whereas if they have a facial tic and you have a similar one, they may just pick it up subconsciously and say, hey, that guy does the same thing I do. And it's very important that you understand this. But before we get into some of the actual matching types and how I'm going to tell you how to go about doing it, let's talk about personality types. Let's talk about the first one is the shark. And the shark is a highly motivated person. They're like kind of a fast talker, make things kind of person. They move towards opportunity. I always say it's somebody from the East Coast, somebody that's kind of like type A personality. I would say that I'm somewhat of a shark. Now, again, each of these personality types that I'm going to talk about, there's no right or wrong. There's no, I want to be that. That's not how it goes. It's really how you are. It's your personality. And if you're not that way, I mean, you maybe can change your personality, but most people can't that easily. But here's what I will say is that some people, in all of the reference points that I'm going to give today, you're going to notice that the personality types and the matching and the modeling and the strategies that we use, it's going to be a combination of many of these things. So again, we're not doing black and white, even though we're using a blackboard. It's not a black and white type of thing that says, okay, you're this, you're that, you're vanilla, you're chocolate, you know, you're strawberry. We're not going that route. It's going to be a morphing. Next one we're going to look at is the dolphin. The dolphin is fun-loving. It's a slower talker. They're not so serious like the shark was. It's probably someone from the West Coast. And again, I'm using these as generalities, so if you're from the West Coast and you're a shark, don't get upset. But when you understand these personality types and you're able to pick it out. Now, there, if you go online and you put in the personality types, there are four personality types. And I resisted using them because, to me, they were always so hard to figure out which ones. I made it simple. I heard somebody one time talk about this in terms of fish, and I immediately said, okay, I can understand that. Whereas when they went into the sanguine and the melancholy, and, well, you look it up online, you'll see what I'm talking about. This is a lot easier for me, and hopefully it's a lot easier for you. But the whole concept is understanding the type of person that's there, and then matching what they're doing. The whale is somebody that likes to help people. They're kind, they're considerate. They're a slow talker also. They're always looking for somebody's best interest, and they could be somebody from the South, pleasant person from the South. Now, the reason I'm giving you these different personality types is because each one is going to be treated differently in the sense that if you're going to match somebody like this, it's going to be different than the way you're going to match somebody from the shark group. The shark group's faster paced. They are talking faster, they're walking faster, they're moving faster, they want to get things done, they don't want you to waste their time. And so you have to up your game when you're dealing with a shark. Now, if you're a shark and you're dealing with a whale, you've got to slow it down. You've got to bring your cadence down quite a bit to deal with somebody like this. And then the last one is called the urchin. This is somebody that's very analytical. They're very logic-oriented, skeptical, and you got to break the ice with these folks. And I say the Midwest, because that's kind of the way the Midwest is. And doing a lot of traveling, as I've done, is I have noticed that. So that's how I placed these personality types. You may disagree, you may agree with it, doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is, I want you to really grasp these different personality types, because they're very different. But you'll notice that you can see that there's probably traits in each one that can move back and forth. There could be a shark that's analytical. There could also be an urchin that is extremely fast speaking. So don't think that just because I said this personality type that somebody's not a blend. A lot of blends out there. So let's, like I said, this is not vanilla chocolate and strawberry. This is a combination of different concepts. But I want you to understand the personality types so that as you're doing your rapport and bonding building, your, you know, communication specialist type of thing, you got to make sure that you understand where each of these people are. Now, there's a strategy we're going to talk about called visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. And it's designed so that you can adapt your communication based on what their representation is. And the representation is visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. Those are the three basic ones. And a visual person interprets best visually. They speak in visual terms. I see what you mean. Look how I can help you. And when somebody's visual, you're going to model back to them visual representations, visual types of verbal patterns, you see. And the other thing is, when you know that they've reached this particular strategy, and you can tell that somebody's visual, you can actually spit back to them what they're saying to you in visual terms. And again, everybody's going to be a mix. Now, what you're going to find is that visual people, they understand what you say by what they see. Okay, what they'll do is they'll take your words and they'll put them into pictures and images. And their mind works like a movie screen. And they're going to kind of put that through their movie screen. And they're going to understand those words by comparing different images when you speak to them. Now, they talk about seeing, how things appear. They see different points of view. Now, a visual person may be better with faces than they are with actual names because of the fact that they are visual. I'm very visual in terms of faces. I never forget a face. I could see you right now, and 10 years from now, I could run into you one other time, and I would absolutely remember your face. There's no doubt. I might not know your name, but eventually I would figure out where I saw you. They also establish eye contact, which is very important. They also make judgments by your appearance. So again, wrap your package. Like I said, if you walk in and you look like you haven't taken the best care of yourself, they're visually going to attract onto that, and they're going to make a judgment pretty quickly right out of that. And they're going to look at everything from your hair. Now, obviously, if you've seen pictures of me, you can see that, you know, my hair's going pretty rapidly. And a visual person could make a judgment call on you based on your hair or based on lack of hair. Seriously. I've seen this happen quite a bit. And that is the visual person. Good, bad, indifferent, doesn't matter. A lot of times they have a tendency to be on the thinner side. And they, you know, they'll do everything that they can from a visual sequence, and you'll pick it up right away because they may see what you're wearing and they may comment on it. They're noticing things in a visual representation more so than they are from the auditory or kinesthetic. Now, auditory, they interpret the best in an auditory way. They listen to the sound of your voice. They listen to how you say things. They get more information from how you say things than by what you're actually showing them. So they're listening to the energy of your voice. And the interesting thing is, when I mentioned the energetic connection, is that as you're pushing out that energy through your words, if your voice is pleasing to them, if your voice sounds strong and it carries authority with it, those type of individuals are going to be very excited about dealing with you because they like the way you sound. Now, here's the thing. When we go into the auditory section where I talk about tones, and that's going to be in one of the other modules, I'm going to go into great detail on this and I'm going to show you all the different voice tones that you can use. But this is the type of person that you're going to be able to really do well with your voice. What you're also going to notice is that they love sounds. Anything that has to do with the sounds, they're probably music lovers. They may play an instrument, and they're going to say things like, "Do you hear what I'm saying? That sounds really good." And they always are into that mode of sound. So again, you know, there's going to be a combination of different situations. Now, you're also going to find that an auditory person is going to have like probably more of a medium build to them, more so than, let's say, thin, like I said. Now, again, these are generalizations, so please don't say I'm auditory and I weigh 300 pounds, because I'm just going to say, you know, I told you we're generalizing here. Kinesthetic. They interpret best in a feeling kind of way. And they do it not only by how they feel, but also by what they feel and hear and what they can touch. So the kinesthetic is not just the physical touch, which it is. It's also the feeling, the emotions, the gut instincts that they have, the hunches that they have. And oftentimes, you're going to find the kinesthetic person is going to either be athletic or they're going to be overweight. They love the feeling of athletics, of games, of getting out there and doing things on a physical level. They may be an outdoors type. They're also the type of person that when you meet them and you shake their hand, they're going to put their, maybe hug you or give you a pat on the back. They may be the type of person, if you're sitting next to them, they touch you on the hand, they touch you on the shoulder. And if you've ever met somebody like that, you immediately can tell they're a touchy-feely type of person. They're touching you. Now, some people like being touched, others don't. And if you do it the wrong way, you could alienate somebody very quickly. So you got to be very careful that if you are kinesthetic, you got to be careful how you touch somebody. Now, once you get somebody into a bonding and rapport, you could pace them by pacing their strategy or their system, the auditory or verbal. And if you're kinesthetic, then you could lead them by touching them. And what you'll notice is they will start touching you back, totally leaving their representation system by actually jumping into the kinesthetic. The kinesthetic is one of those that is very different. It could be somebody getting real close to you. You ever hear of a close talker, somebody that gets like right in your face? That could be a kinesthetic person as well. And again, I'm bringing these things up so that you can say, all right, I've met people like that. Because you're going to go out this next week, and you're going to start meeting people, and I want you to go out and I want you to write down, how many kinesthetics did you meet? How many auditories? How many verbal or how many visuals did you meet over the week? And put the names down. Now, to some of you think this is a lot of hard work, but if you want to get good, you want to be a hypnotic influence specialist, you've got to do this stuff. I mean, regardless. I mean, you want to get good? Let's get good. Now, there's a lot of things you can match as we're going through this process. And we're looking at all of these concepts. We're looking at the verbal, the auditory, the emotional, the energy. We're looking at whether or not this person is a shark, a dolphin, a whale, an urchin. We're looking at their representation systems. So how do we match them? How do we mirror them? How do we pace their reality, the reality of what their life is all about? First thing we can match are the buzzwords that they use. Every group has their own secret language. For instance, athletes, if you're a baseball player, you're going to have certain language. you know, home runs and different terminology. If you're a basketball player, you're going to talk about 3 points. If you're a football player, you're going to talk about touchdowns. Now, if you didn't know anything about football or baseball or basketball and somebody mentioned those things, you wouldn't understand what they're talking about. I'm a martial artist, so I talk in terms of knockouts and tap outs, and until the UFC became real popular, most people didn't know what a tap out was. And if you said, hey, you know, tap out, they wouldn't know what that means. Now, of course, if you're a grappler, you've known what tap out means for many, many years. And so you match buzzwords that somebody uses and you use them back to them because they're comfortable using those buzzwords. Also, here's the thing. When you use a buzzword and you match it to somebody else's reality, they automatically assume you're part of the sect. You're part of that secret group of people that know about tap out or that know about home runs or know about whatever that personal buzzword is. If you're in technology, it could be something from the technology standpoint. You know, megabytes, RAM, all this type of stuff, software development. I mean, to somebody that doesn't know about that, you're like speaking a different language. And the same thing's true here. But this is a quick way to get somebody. But don't match buzzwords if you really don't know what you're talking about. Only if you're going to match buzzwords and you don't know what you're talking about, you better match them in a way that reflects it back to them for them to give you more information about what that buzzword means. Because if you try to pretend like you know the buzzwords, like if you pretend like you know what tap out means, and then they start going to all this information about it and you have no clue where they're at, then you lose credibility. Most people are a combination of all three: visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. And as you can see, I have this slide mixed up with the other one. But I'm not perfect, never tried to be, but we can just kind of laugh at it and just say that you want to learn to understand quickly which one of the person is by watching their physicality, notice their breathing, pick out the key words that you're using, and you can understand which representational system they're using. So hopefully on the next slide, we'll go back to the matching types, and I won't be totally out of sync here, but I think you get an understanding of what I'm saying here. And of course, you have these slides to go back to and understand what's going there. You're going to match visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. Match whichever representational group they belong to. You're going to match vocal qualities. You're going to match the tone, the tempo, the volume, the rate of speech, and other nuances. Went back to when I talked about an auditory person, I talked about how they're speaking. If somebody's speaking in a very calm, slow rate, like this, you would not speak at a high pitch rate to them because they would think you were yelling at them. And so you would lower your tone of speech to pace their speech. If they speak faster and they're talking a mile a minute, you want to increase your speech as well. And that doesn't mean that you're going to take yourself out of your game totally. Because again, we want to ultimately pace them. We ultimately want to match them for one purpose, and that's so that we can eventually lead them. So again, that's why you want to match the tone, the tempo, the volume, the rate of speech, and other things that they're doing. So again, go out this week and match vocal qualities. And let me know what kind of results you get. Again, plan, do, review. Because you may do it and you may feel like it didn't work quite so well. Or you may do it and you may think, wow, I sounded really strange. But see, even though you may sound strange to yourself, to that person, you sound completely normal. You want to match nonverbal body language. You want to match eye blinks, head nods. You want to match their poses, like I mentioned before. You want to match how they sit or stand. If you were in a bar and somebody was leaning, you might lean a little bit. And you see, these are all things. When you do a nonverbal body language and you match in their eye blinks and their head nods and poses, I got to tell you something, that's all subconscious. And if they don't catch you, you are in. Because now they feel like you're exactly the way they are. You know, when we were kids, a lot of times we would copycat each other. You know, somebody would say something and we'd say the same thing. And somebody would do something, would do the same thing. And, you know, you kind of get annoyed when somebody does that to you on purpose and really puts it in your face. But the fact of the matter is, if you match somebody, they're going to know you, like you, and trust you that much faster. Because on a subconscious level, they're starting to say, well, this person's just like me. Or this person is similar to me. This person has a view like I have. You want to match their view of the world. If they're a big picture type or details type, you want to match their behavior. Now, big picture type means somebody that sees it from above. They see the big picture. Like, for instance, using this as an example, this is somebody that says, hey, I want to go out and let's go out and earn $1 million. We're gonna do this joint venture and we're going to earn $1 million. Let's go out and do it. And that's a big picture type person. They see that big picture of the $1 million and they're excited and they're able to motivate themselves that way. Now, a details type person says, I love the idea of $1 million. Let's talk about how we're going to get there. Let's talk about the details. How exactly are we going to get from point A to point B? And see, when you understand what type of person they are, you can then feed back to them the information that they need in order to accomplish whatever you're looking to accomplish. Because again, you've got to have your agenda of what you want to do. If somebody's a details person, then you give them details. If somebody's a big picture person, you don't give them details. Because and another example is on a social setting, if somebody likes to go out and have a great time, and that's their big picture. They love going out and having a great time, and they're just excited about doing that. The other type of person, they like going out and having a great time too, but they want to know, oh, well, tell me what kind of great time you're going to give me. Give me the details. Which restaurant, which bar, are we going to go out? We're going to go to an amusement park. We're going to go to the beach. We're going to go to the city. Again, details. Whereas there's other people that just say they just want to go out and they want to have a great time. And they're not so much concerned about the details. They're more concerned about the overall experience. And this is a really big one because it's one that's overlooked a lot of times when people are looking at these types of things. And if, like I said, if you talk details to a big picture person, they don't want to really know about it. My wife is not a details person. She doesn't want to know about details. She just wants to know, hey, I want to go out and have fun. Let's go have fun. She doesn't want to know step by step by step. Whereas, on the other hand, I'm more of a details. Hey, what are we doing? Tell me. You know, what are we doing this hour, that hour? So, you know, we have to work with each other to get through that situation. You want to match it all. The key is to mirror, match, and pace everything they do that you can duplicate. This creates a secure bond and rapid rapport. Now, as you go out this week, I want you to use all the techniques that I've given you. This probably is the most technique-intensive week that we've done so far, in the sense that there's a lot of concepts here. And even if you've done this before, I want you to go out and do it. Because you can never get enough practice of this stuff. And I can tell you one thing. Whenever I put together this boot camp, I went out and started doing this over again and realized that there's a lot of things I can brush up on as well. And as I put this training together, I added some nuances into it that I had never used before that worked extremely well. Now I'm giving them to you so that you can understand exactly how you're going to get these things to work for you in a really rapid fashion. And that's the key, is getting bonding and rapport quickly. Because the sooner you get in that bonding and rapport, which means they know you, they like you, they trust you, then you can start hitting them with your hypnotic influence and getting the outcome that you want. And that is the entire process of what we're going through this boot camp with, is getting you, you know, we're beginning with the end in mind. You have a goal, whatever that goal is, to get the date, to get the order, to provide better service to somebody, or whatever the case might be. That's the goal. That's the, you know, the end. And then you've got all this information in between that you've got to condense down in order to get to there. And this process could take 5 minutes, could take, you know, 20 minutes, it could take 5 hours. In order to get somebody relaxed enough to let you inside of their head. The bottom line is, people like people who are the most like themselves. So when you're going out there to meet with people, don't argue with them. Don't get them to think that you're one of those people. You want to get them to think like, hey, this person's one of my kind of people. This is the kind of people I can hang out with, you see. And if you get that type of aura, that type of energy around yourself, you're just going to start meeting people and you're going to be building rapport and bond with people in the most incredible way. Once I started doing this, It was amazing how things changed for me. Let me just tell you how it changed for me. Is I used to be extremely conservative, opinionated, and judgmental. Now, I'm still conservative, but I'm not as opinionated and judgmental as I used to be. If somebody asks my opinion, I am going to tell my honest opinion, but I don't offer it up all the time like I used to. I'm not judgmental like I used to be, like, oh, if you don't do it my way, then you're wrong. And you see, when I was doing it that way, I remember many jobs that I had where I didn't get along with certain people in the office. And it was a friction type of thing. And I kind of thrived on the fact that I was stirring the pot in some cases. But in every one of the cases, it did not help me out in that situation. I've been in other companies that I worked in where I used these concepts where I was morphing the way people were. They didn't really know, you know, I didn't need to go tell everybody what my political affiliation was or my religious affiliation was or what my thoughts on this was or that was. I was able to morph. And guess what? I became the person that people enjoyed spending time with. I became the person that people enjoyed hanging around. Not the guy that's opinionated, judgmental, and wants to get his point across and let everybody know that he's right and they're wrong. I hope that helps you in understanding that you've got to be gray. You know, it's not black or white all the time, it's gray. And when you're dealing with people, you're dealing with relationships and communication, you've got to communicate the best way that's going to be in the best interest for the individual, all individuals involved. And you got to look at things from a win-win situation. Anytime you go into communication with you thinking that you need to be the winner and they're going to be the loser, or you don't even care, that's when you're the loser already, because then you've lost a certain percentage of your communication skills. So I know you're going to get great amount of use out of these skills. The strategies and techniques will work for you. Go out this week and start putting this information into place and start putting the flight time in, and you're going to see that within a very short period of time, you're going to become one of those excellent communicators, those communication specialists that can virtually get everyone to know them, like them, and trust them. Again, this is week number 4, module 4, with the Mind Force Hypnotic Influence Bootcamp. If you have any questions, send the questions to mindforcesecrets@gmail.com. I've enjoyed sharing this information with you, and thanks for watching and listening, and have a great day. So long.